The following broadcast of Compassion Radio was from our vast archive of programming content.
As the bullets were flying, they were getting on the telephone, calling each other, asking each other, how are you doing? Are you okay? Let's pray for each other's safety. And there was this exchange of mutual love and oneness in the Spirit of Christ.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Compassion Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I think you're going to really enjoy what we have to bring to the table today. You know, as I was putting this broadcast together, it became so clear to me that Compassion Radio so often brings you news and information about what God is doing around the world that, quite honestly, you're just not going to hear anywhere else. Today, Norm takes you to a college campus in the Middle East whose name you probably aren't too familiar with. After today's program, we trust that will change. Here's Norm to introduce today's guest.
Okay, our guest today on Compassion Radio is Mr. Terry Madison, and Terry's an old friend of mine. We're just delighted, Terry, to have you back on Compassion Radio. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Norm, with emphasis on the old friend of mine.
That's right. We're a little sensitive about that, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Terry Madison, I just want to brag about this guy. He's not only a good friend of mine, but for a number of years, he was president of Open Doors USA. Many of our listeners will recognize that name, a marvelous ministry that works with the persecuted church and represents the ministry of Brother Andrew over the years. And then also he worked for World Vision, was the editor of World Vision magazine, and he's done so many things. I couldn't begin to tell you all of them. But Terry, our focus today is Bethlehem Bible College. And to get us started, I'd like to talk just for a moment about what Compassion Radio is all about. You know this drill, of course, but we have a lot of new listeners, and what I'd like to do is just provide a little bit of emphasis to let them know why it is that we're talking about this subject. When we began Compassion Radio, made the switch from the ministry that it used to be to what it is now, and that was about 15 years ago, we adopted a phrase that has been very important to us. And the phrase is, we are a signpost ministry. Now think about what a signpost is. A signpost, and imagine that you're on a trail up in the Rocky Mountains where Terry is right now, up above Denver, Colorado. And you're wondering how to get to the summit or to the lake or to the whatever the destination happens to be. You want to see a sign that points you in the direction that you want to go. A sign points away from itself to the thing that is most important. And in our case, Compassion Radio is a signpost ministry in that it is committed to pointing people to focusing their eyes and their attention on what God is doing around the world. And the reason that's so important is that if you pay attention to nothing but the secular media, and in some cases, I would say even the religious media in the United States today, it's very easy to become depressed, to become discouraged, because the news is not good for the most part. If it bleeds, it leads, is the old slogan. And we get plenty of that, of course, in our news media. But those of us who know Jesus Christ and who have had the opportunity, as Sharon and I have over many years, and the same is true of our guest, Terry Madison, and his wife, Carol, to travel the world, we know that God is at work in the most difficult, the places in the world where the problems seem to be the most intractable, the most unsolvable, and in some cases on a human level, seemingly hopeless. What we have found over the years is that wherever we go, however difficult the destination and the situation within the destination, we have found that God is at work building his church and that the gates of hell are not prevailing. They may be fighting and struggling against the church, but they are not prevailing against the church of Jesus Christ. And Terry, today because we're talking about Israel. And we're talking about the Palestinian-Israeli situation, and of course, specifically, we're focusing on the little town of Bethlehem that we sing about at Christmas time. It would be very easy, judging from the secular news, to get very discouraged about what's going on there. But you and I had the opportunity a number of years, and you preceded me in this. You knew about all of this far earlier than I did. What we did was we traveled to the city of Bethlehem, and we visited a place called Bethlehem Bible College. You had been there. You knew about this place. I did not. And I, like so many believers, so many Christians, was rather discouraged about the situation in the Holy Land, as we call it. When we got to Bethlehem Bible College and I saw what was going on there, my first question was, why didn't somebody tell me years ago about this place and about what it represents?
I remember that trip so well, and I loved your illustration of the signpost. And in my mind's eye, I see the signpost, and it's usually sort of pointed at one end, pointing in the direction of some place that you need to get to. I didn't have that signpost for a long time in my Christian life. And like so many other Christians, I really wanted to go to the Holy Land, which we were able to do with our family long before you and I made that memorable trip to Bethlehem and Bethlehem Bible College. We did the grand tour, as so many Christians have done. We had some of those amazing Israeli tour guides who certainly know the Old Testament, if not the New, better than most of us. And we saw all of these holy sites and places, but I didn't see anything in our brief trip through Bethlehem in those days. And it wasn't until some years later I was back in another context, and lo and behold, there in the midst of all of the challenges of being a Christian in the Holy Land was Bethlehem Bible College. What a bright light in a dark place.
Oh, absolutely. Terry, what was your first reaction? You mentioned a bright light in a dark place. What was your first reaction to it? Were you skeptical? Did it blow you out of the water, so to speak? What was your initial reaction? Because I think there are many listeners right now who are thinking to themselves, Bethlehem Bible College, what could that possibly be? And why haven't I heard about it before?
Well, all of those questions came to mind, Norm. And I guess my feeling at the time, and it's being reinforced even in our conversation today, that at that point, on my first visit, I hadn't really given much thought about there being many Christians, certainly in Israel or even throughout the Middle East. And to find a vigorous, vibrant, very much alive, involved in the community, both Christian and Muslim, in Bethlehem, it was a revelation and a wake-up call to remind me over time that God is at work in the hearts of people regardless of circumstances, and that there in the midst of all of the challenges of living and being in the Middle East were Christians who not only loved the Lord but were training others to expand the kingdom of God and to be part of a holistic approach to people in the community. And I think, to me, that was one of the wonderful things of Bethlehem Bible College. Not only are they teaching Christians about the Bible, they're taking that Bible and walking it out into the community through medical choirs, other practical acts of kindness, and making Jesus real where he was born, and putting flesh to the words.
Yeah. You know, Terry, one of the things that's so exciting to me about this place is that it's a college, and colleges tend to reach out to young people. So what you've got here is a couple of hundred young people, young Palestinians, who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want to make this clear. We're not talking about just a bunch of old people that belong to, let's say, the historic churches. I'm not putting them down in the slightest. I salute their faithfulness in preserving the gospel over the centuries and over the many years that they've been there in this area. But we're talking about young, vibrant, evangelical Christians who know what it means to accept Christ as their Savior and to love people, to see people with the eyes of Christ, and to prepare for outreach and mission and the sharing of the gospel in the way that is totally familiar to us. Am I putting that right, Terry?
Oh, 100%, Norm. You and I and others that may be listening could go and maybe should go to the Middle East and be there to represent the Lord and to do practical outreach work in His name. But who better than the people who are actually born and raised in that community and who found Christ and who now want to share His love with others? What better vehicle by which to impact major communities in Israel and certainly in the hometown, the birthplace of our Lord, and in Bethlehem, and to get strong, positive, academically vibrant instruction in God's Word and then have that applied to practical outreach, I think is one great gift to the community, to the larger community, from our brothers and sisters in Christ there. And again, to my shame, I was totally unaware for years that there was a church in the Middle East, and certainly a church in Bethlehem and in Gaza and in the West Bank. And to my wonderment and delight, I've met so many of them now who are there, plan to be there, and are being for Jesus what that community needs.
Terry, tell us about the founder of this marvelous school, Bashar Awad, and his brothers, members of his family. He had a vision for this back in 1979, didn't he, and when the school was founded.
One of the most memorable men I have ever met in my life, and I'm well on, long in the tooth, I think the saying is, and I've served the Lord for many years in many parts of the world, and I've met some wonderful godly men and women, but Bashar Awad stands out as one of those wonderfully gracious men who has been, I would say, tempered by the fire of the circumstances in which he was born, in which his father was killed and they lost their home, a lot of bitterness there, possible revenge, and then Jesus stepped into his life, and he has become the most gracious, warm-hearted, patient, loving man of reconciliation I think I have ever met. I am so high on this dear brother who has stayed the course and has nurtured and developed this school in Bethlehem and continues to this day to be very active in it. He's a godly Christian leader, known by many evangelicals around the world because he has been so prominent in outreach to both the Muslims and to the Jewish community in Israel.
I think one of the things that is really encouraging to me is that there has been a wonderful, I want to use the word copacetic, I'm not sure we all know what that means, but you understand what I mean. There is a friendliness and a trust between the Palestinian Christian community. Sharon and I were just over there, and we saw this being demonstrated, as a matter of fact, and the Messianic Jewish community. They are in touch with each other. They care about each other. They pray with each other, pray for each other, understand their commonality of commitment to Jesus Christ. And that's something that is not well known here in the U.S., and I think it's very important to point that out, isn't it, Terry?
Oh, I agree so much. And I'm reminded of the Gospel of John, where Christians are known by their love for one another. That Christian love transcends gender and racial backgrounds, and even in the midst of the crucible there, those who knew Jesus find each other, and in time, as they have opportunity to fellowship and be with one another, there's this incredible bond of oneness that transcends all of these challenges and problems that they face.
You know, one of the most dramatic and wonderful, and I would say, frankly, miraculous expressions of this happened back around 2002 during something, a very sad situation known in those days as the Second Intifada. And it was a time of armed conflict. Bullets were flying between Israelis and Palestinians, and it was not at all safe to be there, but Sharon and I were there. Bashara has a brother by the name of Alex, who is actually the pastor of a Baptist church in East Jerusalem. And we have celebrated Christmas in that church and spent time with Alex on a number of occasions. And we were in a neighboring village, a village very close to a neighboring village of Bethlehem, or Bethlehem. And this is called Bet Jala. And we were in Beit Jala, and looking across this valley, there was a Jewish community, an Israeli community across the valley known as Gilo. It was fascinating as we were looking, and we were seeing bullet holes on the buildings there on the Beit Jala side, and there was this exchange of gunfire that had been going on. It was awful. It was terrible. And Alex was telling us about a wonderful thing that happened. He said, you know, the women who are Messianic Jews over in Gilo and the Palestinian Christian women in Beit Jala on this side of that valley, as the bullets were flying, they were getting on the telephone, calling each other, asking each other, how are you doing? Are you okay? Can I pray for you? Let's pray for each other's safety. And there was this exchange of mutual love and oneness in the spirit of Christ that was happening. And of course, the secular media wasn't talking about that. And people who are more interested, you know, in talking about the details of the war and all of that were not particularly concerned about whether or not there was prayer going on between people who had a mutual faith in Christ on either side of this conflict. But I remember just being overwhelmed as I heard that wonderful story. And that has been validated in our experience as time has gone on. Terry, I want to ask you about something. We had a phone call recently from a person who, knowing about our project during this month of April, which is Bethlehem Bible College, and we're raising funds to support this wonderful institution, who called up and said, there are no Christians in the Palestinian territories. There are no Palestinian believers. And there is that perception, a very erroneous one, among a number of people, among our evangelical brothers and sisters. One way to combat that misconception is, number one, to visit Bethlehem Bible College, and you can do that. They have a guest house. So when you go to the Holy Land, go to Bethlehem and see if you can arrange a visit. They will put you up in their guest house. But secondly, you don't have to go there. You can book their choir, which from time to time tours in the United States, and you can see these Palestinian Christian young people witnessing to their faith in Christ through music. Speak to that, would you, Terry? Because I know that you made an investment in that guest house, you and Carol, a number of years ago.
We made a number of investments, Norm, in different ways. Some years ago, after we had become acquainted with this ministry, a letter arrived at our home saying that they were adding to their guest house facilities and they wanted to refurbish a lot of the rooms with new furniture and so on, and people were given the opportunity to make a gift to make that happen. And Carol and I had never done this before. We've certainly been very supportive of missionaries, of which we both were on the field for many, many years overseas, and we chose to sponsor a room which we called the More Than Conquerors Room. If you were to go there today, there's a brass plaque on the door. It's dedicated to our children, their spouses, and our grandchildren, with our hope and expectation at some point, all of them in their own lives will get a chance to go to the Holy Land, spend a little time in Bethlehem, and hopefully stay in our room. However, we were also able to invest, in addition to other financial gifts, through, shall I say, infecting a brother and sister who live not far from us. They took early retirement and wanted to serve the Lord overseas, and they had a calling to the Middle East in some general way. And we said, you know, there are wonderful opportunities to do volunteer work at Bethlehem Bible College. Well, like ourselves earlier and so many of our other Christian friends, and maybe many of your listeners, Norm, Bethlehem Bible College has never been on their radar. We put them in touch with Bashara Awad, others who'd been there. They went, had 3 months there in which they served in the guest house as hosts and hostess, had their lives totally transformed, and came back so jazzed about Christian service, what was happening in the Middle East, became really interested in serving the Lord in some capacity to Muslims, signed up to do a year in London working with a group that had that outreach in the Middle East. So in many ways, we have personally tried to invest. And again, because we came so late to our understanding of the body of Christ in the Middle East, we're trying to do double time to spread the word that the body of Christ is there. They are vibrant, but they're beat up and discouraged in many, many situations. And sadly, is so many of them feel that there's no hope to stay where they are. And many of our brothers and sisters have migrated to the United Kingdom, to other parts of Europe, to America, to Canada, Australia, New Zealand. And so we need to pray for the church, the remnant that remains, that they not only will remain, but Bethlehem Bible College will multiply itself many times over through the outreach of the students.
You know, Terry, that's a wonderful point that you made, and I want to point this out to our listeners. This wonderful school has an outstanding faculty. Many of the members of the faculty receive their graduate education, their doctorates, and so forth, in the most outstanding evangelical schools here in America. And I'm thinking of schools like Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, for example, in the Chicago area, and other institutions like that, Wheaton College. They have done their work. They are qualified. They could teach in America at any school that they wanted to. They have the credentials. But because they are so committed to the unique kind of task that Bethlehem Bible College has been called upon to do in a very tough neighborhood, let's just put it that way, they are committed to this. They could make a whole lot more money, a lot better living, but they are committed to their people, and they want their neighbors and they want their friends in that community and beyond throughout the Arab world to come to know Jesus Christ and to serve him. And I can't think, let's put it this way, Terry, if you were for the peace of Jerusalem, and we all are, aren't we, as evangelical Christians, we are concerned about the security of Israel, and we're concerned about the many threats that exist to its security and so forth. I can't think of a better investment to make than to invest in a school that is training people to live their lives in concert with the commandments, with the power, with the love and grace of Jesus Christ in the midst of the Palestinian community and beyond. The politics of the situation discourage me, and sometimes we look at it and we shake our head and we say, this is impossible. What's going to happen? And then I think about Bethlehem Bible College, and I think there is hope. And here are young people that are being trained, and a faculty and a school that's training them to know and serve Jesus Christ in that very tough neighborhood. Terry, I think this is a wonderful project, and I want to thank you for being with us. You knew about this way before I did, like so many in the evangelical community. I came to the party late. We recommend this project highly, and I know you do too.
Why, by all means, Norm. It's mind-boggling, spirit-renewing, and it's full, as Norm, you mentioned earlier, a sense of hope.
And when we hear that the choir, the wonderful choir of this great college, comes to the U.S., we're going to let our listening friends know, and their pastors and their churches, so they can have personal contact right here in America with Palestinians who love and serve Jesus Christ. There's hope, my friend.
Indeed.
Thanks so much, Terry Madison, for being with us again, as you have been so many times, and for the joy that we have in knowing Christ together.
Always nice to kind of eavesdrop on Norm and his good friend Terry Madison on this program that originally aired 4 years ago in discussing Bethlehem Bible College. And in fact, that's our project for this month of December. Will you help bring more light to the biblical land of Palestine? We need to remind you that Compassion Radio comes to you daily and reaches out in compassion to those who need to see and experience the love of Christ. Only through your financial support. As a final note, we would ask for your prayer support for Norm Nelson. Norm is struggling with his health at this time. We know the Lord has him firmly in his hands, and he knows the path he has for Norm to follow. But we covet your prayer support for him, and we would welcome your words of encouragement to him by letter email, or phone call. Finally, for your gift of $25 or more, we would like to send you, at your request, a token prayer reminder made for you in the little town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem Bible College students are directly involved with choosing and preparing each item. We trust you will treasure this unique thank you gift as it reminds you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which directly affects Bethlehem. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That address again, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And our web address, of course, available to you 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. That phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Gavernale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again tomorrow for the next Compassion Radio.